Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Figures released by the RSA show that the pass rate at some Irish driving test centres are almost double that of others around the country. How much does where you do your test affect your chances of passing? And what are the handiest tips for getting your licence? Now, I'm joined in studio by Ross Smith, RSA approved driving instructor, who you might know from social media as the virtual driving instructor. Welcome to the show, Ross.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How are you doing? So many, I suppose, learner drivers might be familiar with the videos that you're putting up on social media. How long have you been doing that and why did you start?
We've been doing it consistently for, I'd say, about a year now. And we started because there was a real lack of knowledge out there for people to get their hands on to genuinely help them cross the line and get their full license. So it came from pupils that I had struggling to find advice or information outside the lesson that they didn't have to pay €50 an hour for. Mm-hmm. And from that, we just kind of got moving. We're trying to put as much of the information as I had or as we could online. And happily enough, it really took off. I wasn't expecting the results that we got, but like, I'm really happy that it's helping so many people.
Absolutely. And it's not just learner drivers or people that have just got their license. It's also quite experienced drivers.
Yeah.
Did I hear that you're giving them a bit of a refresher course?
Yeah, we have a lot of people in the comments being like, I'm not a learner. I've already got my license, but I'm sticking around because it's really helpful, which is, again, a bit surprising. I thought it'd be mainly just learners on the page. But yeah, so many people are finding it useful.
Brilliant. And so what's it like to be a driving instructor?
I love it. Like, I really, really do love it. Like, it's really fulfilling, you know, seeing someone on them early stages struggling, cutting out all the stress that they go through at the beginning and then working their way up to being a competent driver. Like, halfway through the lessons, towards the end of the lessons, you do really see a shift in them. You know, they kind of go from like being shaky and nervous about everything, and they stop worrying about the car so much because they're getting to grips with the pedals, they're getting to grips with the gears, they're starting to become accustomed to the road, and then they start taking on what's outside the window, because at the start, it's really all about inside the car. Well, on their mind, it is.
Yeah.
And then when they get accustomed to the inside of the car, it's much easier for them to take on what's happening outside the car. Mm-hmm. But it's really nice to see that shift in them, being able to become comfortable on the road. And then when they get up to the test day and they get that pass, there's nothing more rewarding than it.
I can see why it's so fulfilling, because, you know, you were there step by step with somebody. And it's not just about developing their competencies to drive. You're also helping to develop their confidence.
Yes, big time, big time. A lot of it is mindset, you know, because everybody adapts to the skill eventually. It's just a matter of time on task. Mm-hmm. But how your mindset going into it can have a dramatic effect on how quickly you get to that position. So some people will come into the lessons and all they've been thinking about all week coming up to that first lesson is the people that are going to be around them, the people they're going to annoy, they're going to cut out in front of people, they're going to get beeped.
We've all been there.
Yeah, it's not painting a great picture of what you're going to experience. So a lot of in the car is me really just being like, it's okay. Relax, it's fine. We'll get going again. Or if they cut out, it's like, it's fine. Just get the car started. Ignore what's happening around you. Focus on you.
What age were you when you first started?
Very young. I was 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you find teaching people then that were older than you? And what was their reaction as well?
I think that's why I grew a beard. I'm pretty sure that was my thought process. That I'm not going to get taken very seriously here. So I grew the facial hair out a bit and it worked. People were telling me, you look like you're 26, 27. And I was like 20 years old. I was quite nervous about teaching people that were, most of them were going to be older than me. So as long as I did a really good job, I knew that they wouldn't mind so much. So as long as they were getting the result they wanted, they would probably look past the age, and they absolutely did. Mm-hmm. Most people didn't ask too much, but the question came up every now and then.
A raised eyebrow every now and
yeah,
again.
Yeah, a little bit. They're like, you don't look like you've been even on the road that long. And I was like, yeah, you're kind of right there.
So who is your typical client, and what age brackets do you see quite common?
I get them all.
Really?
Yeah, I get them all. So you've got the 17 to 25 year old that's kind of in college, or they're working part time to pay for college, and then they're trying to get on the road too because they know their job they're heading into might need a car. Mm. I've got a lot of foreign nationals that come from other countries that are looking to exchange their license. They have to do a reduced EDT, so they only have to do half the amount of lessons that a normal driver would. And I've had people I think the oldest person I've had was around 60, 62.
Okay. Yeah.
One of them driving a very long time, so wasn't as hard to teach. It was more about correcting habits, but like how many years they were driving, it's quite hard to switch the habits. And then I had one lady that started from fresh and she had many hours needed under her belt before she got going.
There is this narrative out there that it gets harder to learn to drive the older you get. So what do you think as an expert?
Yeah, it's more that I think you're more aware of the danger. That's in my experience, that's what I've picked up on. I think younger people, they feel more invincible, you know, they haven't heard the conversations too much of like, oh, this happened on the road, mm-hmm. or this crash happened, or this accident mm-hmm. happened, you know, because they're only around other 17-year-olds who aren't really driving, or 18-year-olds mm-hmm. or 19-year-olds. As you get older, you become more wise, you understand that there is a risk to this. Mm-hmm. And I think that that sets a fear in people when they get going. Mm-hmm. When I started off, I was told that it's a lesson for every year you were on this earth. That was the general kind of advice, is like every year you've been on this earth.
That could be a lot of lessons for some people.
Yeah, for some it can be, but some people need more, some people need less. Mm-hmm.
The figures that were released last week seem to show that some test centres have a higher pass rate than others. You know, like some of them, I suppose, you know, depending on where they are in the country, and, you know, the people think at least that they might have a better chance of passing. So how do you think it works in reality, though?
It's hard to tell because there's so many factors that come into play when it comes to passing a driving test. Like, it could be like refusal of the car. You could have certain test centres could have trickier turns than others. Mm-hmm. And that's probably some advice for people who are trying to go down the country, is if you don't know what's around that test centre, you're unprepared. You know, you're less prepared anyway. Mm-hmm. You should be able to be at a standard where you can pass in any test centre. That's the that's the goal. But you definitely are going to have more confidence in an area you're familiar with. I don't necessarily think it's easier or harder to pass in other test centres. But the pass rates, yeah, down the country, it seems to get higher and higher and higher. And then around Dublin, it's much lower. But it's kind of hard to determine exactly what's causing that.
Now, we are going to get to your tips, but I do have a question for you. Everyone has their own ideas of the clever hacks, you know, that you need to, to do and use to pass the driving test. Like, what are some of the myths that you would hear quite often?
So the most common ones I hear are the earrings and the ponytail.
What is that?
It's so the examiner sees you moving your head. So to wear dangly earrings.
Or like,
so
flick the ponytail.
Yeah, the ponytail rubbing off the back of the seat, or the dangly earrings, or trying to sweet talk them, which usually doesn't work because they're told not to have conversation in the car. So the person who tries to sweet talk them then gets told, no conversation, please. And that usually makes them more nervous then.
Of course.
The last thing you want to hear is like, oh, I think of after annoying
this
person.
Yeah, polite way of saying shut up.
Yeah, but the biggest hack you can really go in with is practice. Mm-hmm. As much as possible.
Well, I was going to say that instead of wearing the earrings or the ponytail, then what, I suppose, are the things that people need to focus on to maximise their chances of actually passing?
So there's two big things I'd tell my pupils that they need to pass. And that's knowledge of how the road works, how junctions work, how lights work, how roundabouts work. And then you need the skill behind it. So the knowledge without the skill isn't going to work because you're going to be quite rough in the car. Mm-hmm. And then the skill without the knowledge isn't going to be great either, because as you approach junctions you're uncertain of, you're going to feel very nervous about it. It's like, I'm not actually sure what's right here. So you start doubting yourself and approach to it. You start making a few mistakes and then you either end up stopping or maybe even heading out into the traffic completely unprepared, you know. Mm-hmm. So knowledge and skills, and unfortunately there is a lot to learn about the road, so you kind of have to buckle down early. You have to start as early as you can, starting to build your knowledge up bit by bit, and then to have as much experience behind you as possible. Like, it's very easy to get someone through the test when they've got a couple of years under their belt. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to pass the test when you've only done 12 hours and a couple of pre-tests.
So how long do you think people should be driving them before they try and tackle the test? Because as you said, the requirement is 12 hours of essential driver training.
Yeah. Which is, I think, is ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely outrageous that it's that low. Now, it's a bit of a misconception, though, because the RSA don't actually recommend you only do 12 hours. They're just 12 hours under instruction.
Okay.
So do you remember you had a 6-month wait at the start of your mm-hmm. permit? The way it's supposed to be structured is you're supposed to do 1 hour with an instructor every 2 weeks. And that would take 6 months to complete all 12.
Ah.
But you're supposed to be doing 3 hours of practice at home each week, which is the part everybody's
That's
missing
the fine
now.
Print that
That's
people
the
don't
fine
read.
Print, exactly. So if you get all them hours in, you should be a really strong driver, because you've probably clocked up between 30, 40, 50 hours of driving, which is the amount of time needed to get up to a good standard.
You know, in terms then of panic, because we mentioned confidence earlier on, what happens if the nerves start to overwhelm people? They're in the middle of their test, they're starting to panic. What would your tip be there?
Ask to pull in.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's okay?
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. No, the examiner doesn't want to drive in that car with you stressed as much as you don't want to drive in that car stressed. If it is a matter of, I'm really crumbling here and I'm really starting to get shaky, just say, sorry, I need a minute. Pull in safely, take a few deep breaths and move on again. I'm sure the examiner understands that you're nervous. They meet this mm-hmm. all the time. They meet everybody that comes in shaken and a little bit shook. But if you pull in for a sec, ask to take a breath and then move on again. If you're not that shook and you feel like, I could still get through this, but I'm feeling a bit nervous, focus on what's ahead. Read what's in front of you. Look down the road. Mm-hmm. And anytime I have a pupil that's after getting wound up by a mistake that they've just made, and I can see them thinking about it mm-hmm. even 5 minutes after it's happened, I'll just ask them to start labeling things down the road. So like, what do you see? And they'll say like, oh, I see lights, I see cars, I see people. And that distraction alone takes your mind off the nerves and just puts you on an action-based solution.
My question to you when it comes to mistakes, and I'm sure a lot of people would be thinking the same, should you acknowledge with your driver, you know, that's you're in the test with, that you've made the mistake, or just say nothing?
I'd say nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not going to be a problem if you do, but like some mistakes that the pupils think they've made aren't necessarily big mistakes to the examiner.
Okay.
They usually stem from all these rumors that you hear from aunties, uncles, mams, dads that talk about their driving test. But I'd keep it silent, because if they haven't marked it, you're kind of just telling them, I feel like I've made a mistake here.
Yeah, you've nearly highlighted.
Yeah, take a deep breath, move on, focus on what's next.
There's a text in from Angela. She said, I've tried on and off over the last 20 years to persuade a very nervous older friend to get driving lessons, as she's totally dependent on others to drive her places. She's now 72. Is it too late for her?
No. Not at all. It's harder. Mm-hmm. I won't lie to you there. It's definitely going to be harder, but it's not impossible at all. Mm-hmm. The best thing you could do there is find the friendliest instructor you can. Explain your situation to them. Make them aware, look, I'm probably going to be in this for a while. I'm willing to go through the journey. Are you willing to come through it with me? And if they are, then get cracking.
What are the most common mistakes that people make in their driving test?
Yeah, so some of the big ones that come up a lot would be like right turns at traffic lights. There's a... From the videos we posted, a lot of people think that when you move into the middle of a junction, when you're turning right, when it goes red, people are either going to wait for the filter because they see the two blank lights there, or just stay there because it's a red light, I shouldn't move. But if you don't move from the junction when it goes red, like, it's an automatic fail. The red light is for people before the line, not the people who have progressed into the junction.
So once you've progressed past that line, you need to keep going.
You should be getting out of there, okay. But there should be no reason why you don't make that light, except for the rare occurrence of maybe an ambulance or a guard coming by and it completely delays things. Then you'd be given some leniency on that. Stop signs. Stop means 0 kilometres an hour. Even if you can see 100 metres down each side, stop is stop. Progress, people think if I go really, really slow, I'm going to make a really easy drive for myself. And that's not the case, because if you can't get to 50... How are you going to get to 120 on the motorway? Okay. If you're not confident going up to the 50 zone, I don't want to hand you a license to go 120 on the M50. Mm-hmm. And then blind spot moving off, that's a big one, because nobody really sees anyone in their family do it. So it's like, I don't even think this is a thing. So checking the shoulder moving off, and then make sure your car is ready for the test. So many tests get refused for either no tax in the window, no NCT in the window, insurance. There could be a reg plate digit missing on the insurance that isn't matching your reg.
Such technicalities.
Yeah, even low fuel. If the fuel light's on, the examiner may not take you out if they don't think they can complete the route.
And there is two types of people in this world. The people that always have the fuel full,
yeah.
And then the people like me that will go, I wonder how long I could get before I have to refuel. They are brilliant tips, Ross. I feel like I'm doing a refresher course as well. Thank you for coming into us. Where can people find you online?
So it's the Virtual Driving Instructor on social media, and in the App Store, if you just search VDI, you'll get our app that has tons of resources for learners to help them pass the test.
Well, keep up the great work and
Thank
all the resources
much
as well. We'll be back with live music from Ulton Conlon after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.